Is it also going to be a general election year?
Yes. So look, my working assumption is we'll have a general election in the second half of this year. And in the meantime, I've got lots that I want to get on with.
The Prime Minister speaking in Mansfield there, all but ruled out a spring poll. Sir Keir Starmer has told the Tories he'll meet fire with fire and has labelled Rishi Sunak a squatter in Downing Street. The Labour leader has himself fired the starting gun on election year. Thames Valley Police has referred itself to the watchdog. It's after an 87-year-old driver was killed in Storm Henk after she hit a fallen tree, which had been reported 90 minutes earlier. A major incident's been declared today in Nottinghamshire due to flooding along the River Trent, and Tewkesbury in Gloucestershire has also been affected. Marion's home was flooded in 2007, but says this is very different.
It was a very strange flood this time because it came up so slowly to start with, and then from about 3 o'clock, when it looked reasonable, suddenly the flood came up, and for us, it came in at the back. It knocked the floodgate out.
The Islamic State group says it's behind yesterday's twin blasts in Iran, which killed up to 100 people. They came as an Iranian commander who was killed in a US drone strike in 2020 was remembered. The number of mortgage approvals has hit a seven-month high as more lenders announced New Year rate cuts. Over 50,000 loans were processed in November. Kevin Sinfield will step away from his role as a coach in the England Rugby Union set up later this year. He'll work with the side until the summer tour to Japan and New Zealand. And Britney Spears says she's never going back to making music. In 2021, the singer was released from a 13-year conservatorship, which had controlled almost every aspect of her life. That's the latest. I'm Tim Jones.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM. Proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Well, I can vouch. It is pretty horrible out there this evening. Battle my way into the studios. Tonight, though, it will become increasingly wet. Can it be any more wet than it is right now? Outbreaks of rain will sweep in from the southwest. These will be heavy at times and persist throughout the night. Into tomorrow and in the morning, we will see spells of overnight rain gradually clear away to the east. And in the afternoon, it will turn mostly dry but staying cloudy, with just a few spots of rain lingering in places. And your outlook for the weekend, high pressure will bring largely settled conditions, hallelujah. Saturday is expected to be largely dry with low cloud, mist and fog. Chance of the odd brighter spell in the afternoon. Sunday will be similar, but there is a chance of the odd shower drifting in from the northeast in the afternoon. And Monday will see mostly cloudy skies with a strengthening breeze, and it will become more chilly.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Phoenix FM Travel News.
Well, out on the roads, as you'd imagine, in these conditions, it is fairly treacherous, so be careful. Watch out for standing water, puddles, disguised potholes, fallen trees and remnants of fallen trees. And in places on my journey, in streetlights have gone out as well, so it makes it absolutely fantastic. And it is rush hour. The usual hotspots around this area are busy at Wilson's Corner, the Yonga Road, all heavy traffic, but it is moving. Shenfield High Street, particularly by the station as well, heavy traffic. And it is slow moving on the Rayleigh Road out towards Hutton. And just on the motorways, the M11 northbound, there's slow traffic between Junction 4, that's for the A406, and Junction 6 for the M25. And on the M25, anti-clockwise, one lane is closed due to a lorry having a tyre changed. Although I am told, breaking news, that incident has now cleared. So good news if you're on the M25. But just watch out in this rain. Be careful. Keep your distance. Don't drive like a fool. Well, My thanks to Joe for Drive. An excellent show, as always. And also to Michelle. From now until 7 o'clock, it's me, Darren Mutu. An hour of cricket with 98 not out.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Well, Happy New Year. I'm probably the last person to say that to you. But my defence is that I haven't spoken to you guys since 2023. Well, it's not cricket weather here, but it is cricket weather around the world, so there's a lot to catch up on tonight's show. We'll be taking a look at youngsters playing at Test cricket on the back of Luke Littler's stunning success at the World Darts. Were you one of the millions that watched that last night? He should have won, We also celebrate Stuart Broad receiving a CBE in the King's New Honours List. Congratulations to him. David Warner announces his departure from international cricket, as does Dean Elgar. We shall be taking a look at that. And reporting as well on some amazing scenes down in Cape Town. I don't know if you're aware, but the second test between South Africa and India concluded today. The series ended 1-1, but that doesn't tell you even half the story of what happened down there. I'll give you the details later. In a different style. Talking in a different style. Bankaja Thomas in a Liston style. So if you've just got in from work, take off your jacket, hang it up near the radiator. Take your shoes off, put your feet up, and settle in for an hour of 98 Not Out. And of course, you are listening to us through a veritable smorgasbord of media outlets. If you are in the Central Essex area, you can listen via your FM dial. Just head to 98 FM to get to Phoenix. If you want to listen via the internet, phoenixfm.com. And if you've got a smart speaker, shout at your smart speaker, any of them, to play Phoenix FM. And you'll hear my dulcet tones coming through your smart speaker. And don't forget as well, 98 Not Out has been shortlisted in the final for Cricket Podcast of the Year. Now I need your votes to help us win that. We're up against all the big boys. In a different style. On paper, we shouldn't win. But with your votes, who knows? I've put the link on our Facebook page, on the Phoenix FM webpage as well. If you want to find that, head to phoenixfm.com, look under programs, look for 98 Not Out. All the details of tonight's show are on there. And also how you can vote in the podcast of the year. We'd love to win it, or I'd love to go close. We did this a couple of years ago. It was on a slightly different, it wasn't quite as prestigious as this one. And we got very, very close. We got down to the final two and were beaten by Toby Tarrant's Zero Ducks Given. Now, given the exposure that has, it wasn't a bad result in the end. But I would really like for us to go one step further this year. So head to the phoenixfm.com website, look for 98. Oh, look on social media. We're across Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. The link is all over there. And if you don't know how to get to the link, just email me, radio@phoenixfm.com, title your mail, 98 Not Out. And just, I will reply and send you the link. And spread it amongst everyone you know. If you're a cricket club, get all your members, get all your supporters, get everyone to vote for 98 Not Out. And let's see if we can't pull off an upset. It's cricket birthdays of the week. And the usual mishmash of great names. Jeff Marsh, 65. Matthew Hoggard, friend of the show, 47. Rolf van der Merwe, 39. My good mate Ebony Rainford Brent hit 40. Winston Benjamin, that fearsome West Indies fast bowler, 59 years old. Nick Gubbins, 30. Another Windies great, Sherwin Campbell, 54. England batter Ollie Pope, 26. WG Rumblepants favourite Wayne Madsen is 40. Hyder Ali, 27. David Graveney, 71. Kent Matt Walker, once of Essex, he hits 50. Raise your bat, sir. Alex Hales, 35. Marizan Kapp, 34. Indian legends Kapil Dev, 65. Former Notts and England James Taylor, 34. Graham Napier of Essex, 44. And Charlie Shrek, 46. And from our listeners who are who have written in, first of all, Jim Takeon is 47 this week, and Kerry Hannaway, 55. Happy birthday to everyone on that list, and particularly to the listeners that have written in. If you want to be read out on the Cricket Birthdays of the Week list, you know what to do. Email me, radio@phoenixfm.com, title your mail, 98 not out, and in brackets, birthday list, and tell me whose birthday it is, and how old they are. If you want to tell me a little bit about them, fantastic. But if you do that, I promise they will be added to the Cricket Birthdays of the Week list.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Now, I'm sure like half the country, or even more than half the country, were glued to the darts final, the World Darts Final from the Ali Pally last night. What a fantastic game of darts it was. A really true British episode, a young, unfancied debutant upstart against the current world number one. And what a game it was. Luke Littler, Littler, 16 years old, got to the final, and I reckon he could have won it. There was a couple of chances where he missed, I'll say an easy double. Listen to me, who I'm lucky if I actually hit the board when I play darts, let alone hit any targets. But anyway, he went down fighting and in fine style to Luke Humphreys. So congratulations to Luke Humphreys. Luke Littler is getting all the attention this morning, but we should note that it was a massive win for Luke Humphreys, who's overcome a lot of personal difficulties to get to this stage. But it got me thinking. Luke Littler, 16, I think he's 17 in a couple of weeks' time. And everyone's going on about, God, this youngster, he's only 16, he's only 16. And I thought, well, hang on, we've seen quite a lot of that in cricket down the years. So I thought I'd have a little dig around to see where the youngest test debutants popped up from. And, of course, the first name up was Sachin Tendulkar. Now, Sachin was 16 years and 205 days in the first test against Pakistan in 1989. Also in 1989, Pakistan's Aqib Javed, he was 16 years and 189 days when he appeared in the second test in New Zealand. Mohammad Sharif of Bangladesh, he was 15 years and 128 days when he debuted against India in November 2000. Mushtaq Mohammed of Pakistan was 15 years and 124 days all the way back in 1959 when he played on the Pakistan tour of the West Indies. Hassan Raza, 14 years, 227 days during Zimbabwe's tour of Pakistan in 1996. So it isn't unusual in cricket to see youngsters hitting the heights. So, yes, congratulations to all of those. It seems to be mostly from the subcontinent, just looking down that list. But, of course, there are other notable ones down the years, but I just thought I'd try and find the youngest ones. There are plenty of teenagers. I did a search on teenage test cricketers. There are absolutely loads of them. But, yes, congratulations to everyone that's on that list, and particularly congratulations to Luke Littler.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Got there in the end. It's time for a bit of music now. This is Orchestral Manoeuvres in the Dark and Enola Gay.
go to phoenixfm.com and listen to online guest interviews. Check the events for your area and listen to great radio online.
OMD and Enola Gay, which is on an advert at the moment. I can't figure out which one it is. Joe on the show, on her drive show, William was playing a Sam Fender record, which is also an advert. And when I get that, that really does my head in because I can't remember what the advert is, but I recognise the song. But I suppose that's better than recognising what the advert is, I guess. Anyway, whatever, I'm rambling. I'm rambling because I've just been fighting. While that was playing, I managed to, on my walk into Phoenix FM Towers tonight, managed to do what, when I was a young schoolboy, I managed to get what I called in those days a booty, where I've stepped into a puddle because the lighting isn't brilliant around here and it's chucking it down with rain. And I managed to get up to my ankle in rainwater, and my left trainer and sock and foot are soaking wet. I'm trying to dry them out. But you don't need to know that, do you?
98 not out.
Now, let's get back to some cricket news, because this is a cricket show. This is 98 Not Out with me, Darren Moods, every Thursday night between 6 and 7, right here on Phoenix FM. Today, and now, if you are still off work, and I know quite a lot of you are, just making the most of the festive break, there was some absolutely top-quality entertainment taking place at Newlands, down in Cape Town, where South Africa are hosting India in a two-test series. Now, we reported on the first test last week, where South Africa pulled off a fantastic win. And the second test did not disappoint, certainly in terms of entertainment. For the record, India has beaten South Africa by 7 wickets in the second test in just 107 overs. That's the shortest ever, with 23 wickets falling on day one alone. Now, interestingly, South Africa won the toss and elected to bat, but they were skittled out for just 55. Yes, 55. With a player of the match, Mohammad Siraj, taking 6 for 15 off 9 overs. With only... oh, no, hang on a second. That's the second innings. What am I talking about? South Africa skittled out for 55. Only two of South Africa's batters scraped into double figures. But even in more remarkable scenes, India on reply were 153 for 4 before losing 6 wickets in 11 balls without adding to the score. In total, the team's first two innings lasted just 349 balls or 58 overs on one ball, the second fewest ever, as both sides struggled to deal with the ball rising off off a length. South Africa's second innings was dominated by a gutsy 106 out of a total of 176 by Aidan Markram, with some superb bowling from Jasprit Bumrah, who returned figures of 6 for 61. India was set 79 to win and got there for the loss of just 3 wickets. Now, at the end of the India innings, there was a moment of pure comedy gold, which will be dredged up on every sporting comedy show, panel show, whatever you want. And I think this almost pips Ian Smith's barest of margin quote. Listen to Ravi Shastri.
My goodness. Yes, 153 for 4, 153 all out. If someone went round the corner for a dump and has come back, India have been pulled out for 153. Or a drink, or whatever they've gone for.
Ravi Shastri, someone who I usually find quite straight-laced and buttoned up, but yes, that one will be dredged up time and time again. So, all over in a day and a half, the shortest test to produce a winner in the history of the game. The series ends 1 apiece. And India has still never won a test series in South Africa. Now, the game was notable for the retirement of Dean Elgar, who was playing in his 86th and final test match. And he is widely expected to appear in the county championship this year, but it's not clear where exactly he is headed. Essex fans will have been almost certainly excited by the rumours that he was on his way to the Cloud County Ground. But there are rumours, and they were talked about on commentary in the first test, that he was heading to Somerset. And the debate is raging on Twitter. I just put a comment just before we came on air about where he might be headed. And someone else, one of the cricket writers from The Guardian, has chucked Hampshire into the equation. We shall see. I really do hope he does come to Essex, because he will fill a bit of the hole left by the departures of Sir Alastair Cook, who's retired, and Dan Lawrence, who has headed over to Surrey. Dean Elgar will be a fantastic replacement, and if he doesn't, then I think Essex have got a lot of work to do. But we'll put the last word on this test match to the India captain, Rohit Sharma, who said, "I don't mind playing on pitches like this as long as everyone keeps their mouths shut in India and doesn't complain about Indian pitches." I think that's fair enough. The question I would ask myself is, this was fantastic, it was great entertainment, but in entertainment for who? If you are getting used to watching crash bang wallop of white ball cricket, then this is the sort of stuff you're used to. But if you are more of an aficionado of the longer game, the red ball game, and the toing and froing of a test match, seeing a game over so quickly, I mean, okay, you can blame the pitch, but does it really, you know, test cricket has enough problems of its own without things like this. So while it was great entertainment, while it was fantastic, while it's all miserable and cold over here, I do think we need to see more balanced and lengthy test matches. And we also need to see longer series, two-match series. And I think there's another one, South Africa going up to New Zealand. I think that's another two-match series. It's Now, we need to make test cricket more meaningful. If we're going to have these, and I know there's this argument that it's all tied up in the scheduling by the World Test Championship, but really we need to stamp the authority of test cricket, because test cricket, in anyone's books, is still the finest form of the game.
98 FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Now, I'm sure you can't have missed the fact that in the King's New Year's Honours list, Stuart Broad has been appointed a CBE, having announced he would retire after the fifth Ashes Test back in July. God, it's nearly 6 months ago. Broad has had a fairy tale ending where in that match, you'll remember, he scored a six with his last ball as a batter and taking the final wicket of the game to give England victory and secure a 2-2 series draw. He finished his career with 604 Test wickets, placing him fifth on the all-time list and only behind long-time England teammate James Anderson amongst fast bowlers. He's also one of only 10 men in history to score more than 3,000 runs and take 300 wickets at Test level. Absolutely amazing, well-deserved. And it just reminded me, and I make no apology for playing this next chat, but we talked to Stuart on this show exactly a year ago, and I did, in the course of it, ask him what he expected from 2003, and I suppose even then, he did not have any idea of what a year it was going to turn out to be. So, just have a listen to this. This is Stuart Broad talking to 98 AR exactly a year ago. Stuart joins us live from the Sky Sports Studios, where he's covering the first day of the final test match at Karachi between Pakistan and England. Having congratulated him on the arrival of his daughter Annabella and telling him that that gets him in good stead for these 3 a.m. starts, which he's doing covering the test matches, we asked him what the impact was of Bazball and what the thinking was behind it.
We can entertain every day, and then the results will look after themselves. So I think having that mindset that it's fun and entertaining has dragged us a long, long way as a group very, very quickly. You know, winning, what is it? Was it 7 out of 8 in the summer, maybe, and then going to Pakistan and 2-0 up? It's been an incredible turnaround.
So what are your thoughts on this? We reached the climax of this series now. England have pulled off an amazing performance so far, winning 2 tests in 2 weeks, whereas before I think it was only 2 tests ever out there. And the spring in the steps, incredible. And I think with this test, the arrival of a youngster on the scene who has been knocking on the door incredibly for quite a while, even though he's at the young age of 18. So what do you make of Ahmed turning up?
Yeah, it's a great story, actually. I don't know if you've seen any of the footage of Shane Warne, yeah, seeing him as a 13-year-old and saying, "Cool, I think you'll play first-class cricket at 15. And actually saying, I'd look forward to commentating on you. So, you know, we know how much Warnie would have loved to be commentating on his first Test match wicket he's taken. It's there's something about leg spin in Test cricket, isn't there? Leg spin and really, really fast bowling that's just so exciting. And I think we saw with his first Test match wicket, the googly that turned past the left-hander's outside edge to then be followed up by the leg spinner that catches the inside edge to be caught a short leg. It's just magical moments. And I think he will thrive so much under Brendan and Stokesy because they don't care about run rate. They don't care if you bowl the odd bad ball that goes for four. They care about you bowling wicket-taking balls. So, and he looks like he's got that wicket-taking ability, which is what you want in Test match cricket. And I think sometimes in English cricket, we sometimes get carried away too much with, oh, we bowled a bad ball, or we're going at five and over. Whereas this new mentality is, I don't care if you're going at seven and over. If you get three wickets in this session, you break open the game, and we'll go and score at 10 and over. You know, so I think he's a sort of style of player that could settle really well into this environment, because I think naturally he plays his cricket really attackingly. And he's already got a first-class 100 for Leicestershire. So he's got a huge amount of ability. And for him, what a time to be making a Test match debut. 2-0 up in a series. The team's flying. Everyone's high of confidence. You're looking to make Test cricket fun and exciting. And you're the style of player that fits that bill. What a time to be starting your Test career. You know, there's so much pressure that comes with Test match cricket. And whether that's pressure from family sometimes, pressure from media, scrutiny on your technique, for the crowd, bit of failure, whereas actually this environment's sort of tried to drag all that away and make it feel like, and that feeling you get when you're a kid and on a Saturday the first thing you do is open the curtains and check it's not raining because you want to play cricket. So it's almost trying to get that feeling within the group every day when you're playing for England, and not worrying about if you get caught mid off, who cares? Like, you should have been it for six, like that sort of mentality, rather than going into your shell. And you know, if you want to dance down the pitch and hit the spinner over the top, do it, because you've got the talent. That's why you're playing. That's why you're wearing the three lions. Go and do it. You've got the freedom. And I think that's Baz did it as captain with New Zealand. They became a very dangerous team to play against when he was leading them. And he's brought that mentality very quickly into the Red Bull team with England.
One of the Pakistan breakthrough stars this year has been Abrar Ahmed, another Ahmed. And his performance in the last test, getting so many wickets, it just reminded me of your performance in the Ashes, and going further back to Bob Willis back in 81. And it seemed, I wanted to ask you, the famous one with Bob Willis was he seemed to go into a different mindset and almost trance-like. In 81 at Headingley, and you performed off similar heroics in 2015. Do you go into a zone where you're thinking, I'm going to take a wicket with every ball? How does it feel being in that position?
Yeah, you do go into a zone. Yeah, I mean, I think the more experienced and older you get, you pick up certain cues of how that feels like and what you're looking for to try and replicate it more and more. But yeah, I look back to the 8-for-15 at Trent Bridge, and everything felt calm and easy, and my stride pattern felt light. I felt like the ground was almost giving me energy and helping my run-up flow through. And I wasn't really thinking about the end result. I wasn't thinking bowl an in-swinger, bowl an out-swinger, drag my length back, go a bit fuller. I was just in the battle, concentrating on charging in, using the energy of the crowd, and giving everything for each delivery. And the wickets sort of just came my way. I'm a bit of a believer in fate, and you know, things just worked my way that day, and it was an incredible feeling. But I have had quite a few spells in Test match cricket where I've picked up five in a spell, and I think that is just that zone or whatever you want to call it, where everything just clicks. You know, your stride pattern's perfect, your tempo's perfect, you're tall at the crease, and you get extra bounce, and you're able to deliver that ball exactly where you want to without overthinking it. And for Abrar in the first Test match to get 11 wickets on debut, that's showing an amazing amount of maturity and calmness to be able to deliver that when you're probably at your most nervous you'll ever be in wearing an international shirt. So that stands him in great stead going forward, and it's an exciting development for the Pakistan team, who, if we're honest, have looked off the pace in this series. I think they've looked a team who have looked like the visitors. They look like the conditions are slightly foreign to them compared to the England team, who have attacked it and played in a way that conditions haven't mattered.
So I'm using my crystal ball. I'm looking forward to 10 years into the future. Rayan Ahmed's captain, and you and Jimmy are still opening the attack.
Maybe Jimmy, not so sure me. do you know what? I think if I learned anything from 2022, not to go back too much to it, but missing out on the Caribbean tour in March, Caribbean trip's one of my favourites in the calendar. So getting dropped for that, it really made me sort of, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but honestly, take each game as it comes. I sort of made a commitment to Nottinghamshire and England, like each week is a new event. I'm going to give my heart and soul everything I can to win that week, sign it off, and look towards the next week. And I enjoyed it so much more. I enjoyed the fact that I wasn't thinking, oh, what about August? Or, oh, what about the winter tour? It was, I'm going to give my everything here and now. Baz sort of uses this saying, like, be where your shoes are or stay where your feet are. Literally live in the moment for that test match or that championship game. Give everything, sign it off, celebrate the win, and move on to the next. And I think that really, really helped my mentality. And, you know, I'm 36 now. Do I think I'll be playing at 43? No. But do I look past what comes in 2023? No. I'm just going to focus on each week, every opportunity I get, give it everything. And I'm different to Jimmy. You know, Jimmy's got high levels of skill, like unbelievable levels of skill. It's like watching a Rolls Royce. Whereas I need sort of every ounce of my competitive spirit and my bounce and as much pace as I can muster out of my body. So I know as soon as my competitive spirit starts to drop off, that'll be the time for me to know that the cricket pitch isn't for me anymore. And it certainly wouldn't be like I wouldn't see it as retiring. I just see it as changing career. You know, I'm 36, 37 going into this year. I just keep loving every week, really.
You sound very much like Cookie in that respect, because he was someone that was very depreciative about his own talent and just went on and on about the fact he had to work so hard to keep going and didn't seem to think that he was gifted in any way at all, but clearly was.
Yeah, I mean, Cookie, to be fair, like, obviously, he's our leading run scorer ever. He had so many mental attributes. It's unbelievable. Like the ability to concentrate and focus on his strengths and his job for the team was outstanding, and to be able to deal with so many, you know, when he's captain for so long, so many things going off, but then get on the pitch and be able to deliver exactly what he was there for. And there's no doubt he would have adapted to any team that he was a part of. You're not telling me Alistair Cook, the quality of player he was, couldn't adapt to Brendan's style. Of course he could. You know, the bloke played 150 test matches. You know, he could adapt to any style he wanted. And he'd have done it his own way. He might have pulled the ball more and walked across the stumps and flipped through mid-wicket and cut the ball. But he'd have been able to play. So yeah, he's without doubt in my certainly in a small group of the best players I've played with.
Just before you go, Harry Gurney's a big friend of ours, and we've had him on a few times. Sounds like there's some good news in the pipeline with the Tap and Run, which you and Harry own together.
You know, very, very unfortunately, I think it was day three at Trent Bridge in June. Harry called me about 4:45 in the morning, saying the pub's on fire. I was like, couldn't quite believe what was coming out his mouth, to be honest. But yeah, it was a complete write-off. But we've we've got to the stage where the roof is fully back on, the internal walls are looking good, so we're hoping to open in late April, May. And we've also last week just opened another pub called the Griffin, just outside Leicester as well, Leicestershire. So, yeah, Harry's since retired from cricket. You know, he's got a really smart business brain. He's fallen in love with the pub trade, and he's a great business partner to have. So he's hopefully we'll keep growing the pub business and keep giving the opportunity for communities to get together and enjoy each other's time.
He keeps coming to me for trading advice, which I strongly suggest no one ever does. all right, Stuart, we'll wrap it up there, I think. Really, really appreciate you giving us your time. I know you're busy. Enjoy the rest of the Test match. Have a fantastic Christmas at home with the family. What are your wishes and hopes for 2023? What are you looking to do?
Oh, good question. Wishes and hopes 2023. Well, as part of this New England mindset in the changing room, I know we don't look forward too much, so I won't even mention the A word coming in June and July. it's difficult to not always have half an eye on that series. I think as a cricket fan, anyone will want to cast an eye on that series, won't they? The way the England team are playing, the way the Australian team have had so much quality over a long period of time. I think that's a standout couple of months in the calendar. But what am I hoping for 2023? To be honest, just keep enjoying, keep smiling, see my family grow happy, and try and get the golf handicap down.
Fantastic. Sure. Really honoured and privileged to talk to you, and wish you all the best. Many thanks for talking to 98 Layout.
No problem, guys. Thanks.
So that's Stuart Broad talking to us back in December of 2022, just over a year ago. And I've dug that one out. Any excuse to replay that. It was one of the favourite ones that we've done down the years. We've had some fantastic names, but was always told that you'll never get Stuart Broad, and then it just happened completely out of the blue with pretty much zero notice. So I think the best ones that we've done have all been without any notice. But it was a great chat with Stuart, and interesting to get a mindset into the England dressing room. And we congratulate him on his CBE and wish him well in his retirement. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from him again in the near future.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
I'm John Charmy, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6 p.m. here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Tune into the Sunday Sessions on Phoenix FM every Sunday morning, 10 till 12, with me, Kevlar. I'll be bringing you tracks from local artists. Most of those tracks are recorded down at our open mic, which takes place every Monday at 8 p.m. at the Essex Arms in Brentwood, right next door to Brentwood Station. Come along and just watch, or if you're a singer or songwriter, come along and sing us a song.
Sing, sing, sing.
It's me, Michelle Ward. A prawn cocktail.
I love a prawn cocktail.
I'm always rambling. What is the mayor's chain called?
Chain.
Chain. In fact, I never stopped talking. And I rubbed, basically, all of the skin off the inside of my thigh. You can answer my question of the day.
Michelle.
I think men go through the menopause from about the ages of 18 to 65. And after that, they die. Fantastic guests and super music. What am I lacking in the diet? Humour, really?
Yes.
Weekdays, 10 till 1.
The Christmas issue of the Cricketer magazine, otherwise known as the January issue, is out now. We have a fantastic illustrated cover by the gifted Nick Newman. And inside, David Gower takes new MCC president Mark Nicholas to lunch. We have Mike Brearley talking about captaincy at the World Cup. And Simon Barnes reviews the cricketing year. If that isn't enough, we have a Test Match special with the producer Adam Mountford and the former producer Peter Baxter. We also have an interview with Kevin Howes. And Nasser Hussain picks his player of 2023 and is one to watch next year. And the icing on the cake is an interview with Fergal Sharkey, the pop superstar, on why his good heart belongs to the Ireland team. Subscribe to The Cricketer at cricketer.com.
98.
This is Phoenix 98 FM. And just listening to John Chubb there, plugging his Phoenix Sports show on Saturday afternoons, 3 till 6. He is actually following me at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock with the excellent non-league hour, all the roundup of all the news from the non-league sides in the area. Then at 8 o'clock, Gareth Williams is here with Bumper to Bumper. Always great show. And then at 10 o'clock, Madeline Christie is here with the night shift with country music, old and new, with a few other little bits and pieces thrown in. Always a good listen. So keep it Phoenix through till midnight. Then at midnight, you have 7 hours of non-stop hits, Destination Dawn, and then that takes you through till 7 a.m. Mikey Porter and Breakfast.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Now, when we were listening to Stuart Broad a little while ago, I mean, obviously, Broadie is forever associated with the Ashes, and in particular, he is always associated with getting the wicket of David Warner. Yes, it is pantomime season, and everyone's cricketing pantomime villain is David Warner. Now, the Australian batter has announced his retirement from international cricket in the lead-up to his final Test match. The 37-year-old previously announced his retirement from Test cricket before the ongoing series with Pakistan. But on Monday, Warner said his decision was also to retire from ODI cricket, which was one that he was, quote, very, very comfortable with. Now, he played a pivotal role in helping Australia win the Cricket World Cup against India last year. Warner, who was Australia's leading run scorer at the tournament, said he felt the time was right after an absolutely amazing World Cup. He also said that retiring would create opportunities for new players and allow him greater freedom to play a franchise cricket overseas. Warner has been part of the IPL for 14 seasons and he has a massive following, but he did not rule out playing in the 2025 Champions Trophy if he was called upon. I would suggest that Australia would have probably moved on by then, but you never know. However, his career, as we all know, has not been without controversy. In 2018, Warner, who was then Australia vice-captain, was banned from playing all forms of international cricket for a year over his involvement in the Sandpaper Gate ball tampering scandal. He has also been permanently banned from holding a leadership position in Australian cricket teams. Cricket Australia, the sports governing body in the country, said Warner had devised a plan to artificially alter the state of the ball with sandpaper during a match with South Africa and then instructed a junior player to carry it out. On Monday, he told Australia media he had no regrets over his actions. Now, this, along with other such incidents, such as an altercation in a bar with England cricketer Joe Root. Do you remember that? When he thumped him he thumped Joe Root in a bar in, I think, Nottingham. I think that was. He's made him a very divisive figure on the cricketing stage. He's unpopular with many England supporters, while fans in Australia have also expressed their disappointment over the ball tampering issue. And most recently, former Australia fast bowler Mitchell Johnson questioned why Warner should get a hero send-off in his last Test series. It's been 5 years, and David Warner has still never really owned the ball tampering scandal, he wrote in an Australian newspaper. Now, separate to that, David Warner has also pleaded for his baggy green cap to be returned after revealing it had been stolen from his luggage. Warner said the cap was in his backpack, which was taken while he travelled to Sydney to play against Pakistan in the third Test, which is Warner's last Test before he retires from the format. So if anyone sees Warner's baggy green cap, well, you know what to do with it. This is Moby, and this track's called Porcelain. Thank you.
this is goodbye. This is goodbye.
Moby and a track called Porcelain, very popular at the moment. I managed to catch that. It was part of the soundtrack for that film The Beach from a few years ago with Leonardo DiCaprio. God, that takes me back, that film, filmed in Thailand, where it was a deserted island before they made that film, and then since then tourism has absolutely ruined it. But I think it's also been used in an advert for aftershave at the moment. But anyway, there you go, Moby.
Phoenix FM travel news.
I'll just give you a quick update on the travel. I've just had a text in from someone. I mean, it doesn't seem to be easy now as we sort of head out of rush hour and traffic is light because people are still on holiday. But there is some standstill traffic due to roadworks on the A1023. That's between Brentwood and the M25. It's at the Brook Street traffic lights. Just by the Bull Pub. And that Aston Martin dealer where you just gaze in there while the lights are on red and you just think, oh, one day. Everywhere else, it's starting to move. It doesn't look too bad out there at all. Right, back to the cricket. I've got to squeeze a bit in before I have to make way for John Chubb at 7 o'clock. Now, we started the show with updating on the series between South Africa and India that has just concluded down at Cape Town. But this has kind of been overshadowed a little bit by news that Cricket South Africa has put out a statement saying it has the utmost respect for Test cricket after they were heavily criticised for naming a weakened squad for an upcoming tour of New Zealand. Now, the two Test series, why is it two Tests? At least make it three, so it's at least a little bit interesting. I just miss the old days of proper five Test tours with a few domestic games thrown in, but we'll have that debate another time. The two Test series starts on the 3rd of February, which clashes with South Africa's premier T20 competition, the SA20. Now, South Africa's 14-man squad contains seven uncapped players, including Neil Brand, who's also set to captain the side. CSA apparently tried to reschedule the series, but they said the calendar made it impossible. Seamer Dwayne Olivier is the most experienced name in the squad, having played 15 tests between 2017 and 2022, while batter Keegan Peterson has played 12 times. In total, the squad has 50 test caps, while there are just three players, Peterson, David Bedingham and Zabia Hamza, included from their ongoing test series against India. Former captain Dean Elgar, who has retired after today's result against India, said that he's sad that South Africa are having to send a weakened team. A CSA statement said the Board of Cricket South Africa notes the concerns about the composition of the test squad that will be travelling to New Zealand later this month. We reassure the fans that CSA has the utmost respect for the test format as the pinnacle of the game we love. The dates for this tour were set when the Future Tours Programme, the FTP, for 2023 to 2027 was finalised back in 2022. The window for the SA20 had not been determined at that stage. Once it became apparent that there would be a clash, we made every effort to try and find another mutually suitable slot for this series in consultation with New Zealand cricket. Regrettably, the constraints imposed by the global cricket calendar rendered this impossible, as games must be played before April 2025 as part of the World Test Championship. They added they were confident the players picked will represent the Proteas badge with honour, and the series was an opportunity to demonstrate the depth of talent. They say future editions of the SA20 will not clash with bilateral commitments, and they remain committed to international cricket while strengthening the SA20, a tournament that was initiated by us to help grow and sustain the game. Now, this announcement comes amid growing competition for players' time, with more franchise leagues being set up globally. Are you watching, organisers of the 100? Dean Elgar, who has played in 86 tests now for South Africa, added the series is an opportunity for players, but the situation is not ideal. Irrespective of what's happened behind the scenes, there is still a lot of hunger for test cricket from the guys who are playing, said Elgar. It's out of our hands, the coaches' hands and the team management's hands. We can fight and promote the format as much as you can, but it's up to the guys who count the beans. It's not all about money, guys. It's not all about money. Hopefully there will be a bit of sanity in the decisions for our players going forward. But former Australia captain Steve Waugh, someone not known to mince his words, and he played 168 tests across 19 years, has been critical of Cricket South Africa, saying, obviously, they don't care. If I was New Zealand, I wouldn't even play the series, Waugh told the Sydney Morning Herald. I don't know why they're even playing. Why would you play when it shows a lack of respect for New Zealand cricket? When the announcement was made, Waugh posted on Instagram saying, is this a defining moment in the death of test cricket? Hard words, but is he wrong? History and tradition must count for something. If we stand by and allow profits to be the defining criteria, the legacy of Bradman, Grace and Sobers will be irrelevant. Current Australia captain Pat Cummings told reporters he hoped weaker squads was a phase ahead of their third test against Pakistan. My hopes are that even stronger than it is now, and it will be even stronger in 10 or 20 years' time than it is now. I think in some regards, leading to this test summer, some of the question marks were against Pakistan and the West Indies. We've had two fantastic test matches against Pakistan, really well supported, big crowds. So I don't think that it's as dramatic a decline as sometimes it gets spoken about. But I think there is an issue just with the amount of cricket out there. You're hearing this more and more, and more and more people are complaining about the amount of cricket. Obviously, competition for talent is higher than it's ever been. Cummins said he did not know what the silver bullet is, but he hoped the game could make it work where we've got 15 or 20 test-playing nations who are all really strong. India skipper Rohit Sharma added he thought the priority and a lot of thought should be given to test cricket. You would want to see the best players playing in that format, said Rohit. It's something all countries need to protect and give importance to. Hear, hear. Right, that's it. I'm out of time. Thanks to Stuart Broad for tonight. And thanks to Dan Hagger for last week, a very popular guest. And I'm sure we'll have him on again in the near future. Playing us out tonight, Thundercat and Them Changes. I'll be back next Thursday at 6 o'clock for more 98 Not Out. Stay tuned. John Chubb is on his way.
Nobody move, there's blood on the floor, and I can't find my heart.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.